Welcome back to another thrilling, exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio. I'm Peter Nicolaitis, and joining me is my good friend and host of the Fresh Ubuntu podcast, Harlem. Harlem, how you doing?
Good, Peter.
All right. Great. Thanks for joining me today.
Hey, no problem. I heard you were talking about Iron Man, and since Iron Man is coming out, I wanted to participate as well. So
that's awesome. Yes, as Harlem said, by the time you're listening to this, today is the debut of the brand new Iron Man live-action movie starring Robert Downey Jr. And I thought that it would be appropriate to just have a little chat about Iron Man. So for those of you who are listening to HPR, who are, you know, geeky enough to listen to it but not know who Iron Man is, shame on you.
Oh.
Now that I've got that out of the way, though, we're going to take a little time and educate you as to who and or what Iron Man is and why I like him so much. Iron Man has always been one of my favorite superheroes, and I just thought he was really cool. He's, you know, really powerful. He's he's definitely one of them. I don't know if he's one of the most powerful, but he's rather powerful in the Marvel Universe. It was a Marvel comic book. And he was a founding member of the Avengers, who are, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. I think that's their tagline. But Iron Man, his secret identity is Anthony Edward Stark. He goes by Tony Stark, who is a multi-billionaire. And he owns and operates this mega conglomerate corporation called Stark Enterprises.
Right.
So I've rambled on a little bit. Stark Industries.
Industries.
Thank you. Yeah. So I've rambled a little bit about him. Why don't you just take over? Tell us a little bit about Iron Man, Harlem, anything you like.
Well, what particularly drew me to Iron Man is that this guy is just an ordinary guy.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't have any special powers. He's not, ultra fast or anything like that. He's just a smart guy. And on top of that, he's got some pretty good business sense. So that's what draws, I think, a lot of the folks, is that they can, they as ordinary people, and at least this is what I was thinking, is that technology can make us better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's what sort of drew me to this guy. So
absolutely.
I also love the way his suit of armor has evolved from the very beginnings back
yes.
in the, you know, the very early days, where it was just this big dark gray piece of metal, not very well form-fitting,
mm-hmm.
To what it is now, a nicely designed, it looks like some really strange type of alloy, and that can move with your skin and that kind of stuff. So I love the evolution of that kind of thing. But
absolutely. Can I jump in for a second?
Yes,
there?
The
Iron Man first appeared. He was created by, like so many other Marvel Comics characters, created by Stan Lee in 19... actually, I shouldn't say, not just Stan Lee, but also Stan Lee, Larry Lieber, and artists by Don Heck, and also with Jack Kirby. So they all collaborated and made Iron Man in 1963. So, Iron Man's been around for 45 years now. So
long time.
Kind of interesting you think about that. But
and it's about time that they made a movie of him. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
You keep hearing it about it. You know, I've heard that they were going to do an Iron Man movie 10 years ago, and I keep waiting and waiting and waiting, and I thought, finally,
yeah.
we have finally done it. So anyway, just my two cents in.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Continue where you were going. I just wanted to get that origin little tidbit in there.
Yeah. So it for years and years I've been waiting for, a real good Iron Man movie, and you hear about it for years and years and years from Hollywood. And I'm hoping this movie doesn't disappoint me.
Yeah.
I've been disappointed by a lot of these franchise superhero movies. Most notably Batman.
Hmm.
The first one was pretty good.
Yep.
The very first one that with Michael Keaton.
In 1989.
Right. And then afterwards, the rest of them just got worse and worse and worse. And
absolutely.
Not to get off topic here, but it has since gotten much better with Christian Bale.
Absolutely. But, I was going to say the Batman Begins stuff. But that's relevant, though, because actually I was going to bring in Batman into this discussion.
Oh, good.
Because I think Batman and Iron Man actually have a lot of things in common. And, you know, they both are, well, for starters, they're both, you know, multi-billionaire defense contractors, right? they both use technology to enhance themselves, although Batman, you know, I guess to a lesser, he's dependent on technology, I think, to a lesser degree. You know, because he also epitomizes or represents like the epitome of human potential and, you know, like what a human can do. Whereas, you know, and they're both really, really smart. I'm not sure. I forget. I've seen a ranking somewhere, but I'm pretty sure they're both in like the top, you know, four or five in as far as intelligence goes in their respective fictional universes, you know, on their worlds anyway. You know, because Batman is, you know, he's definitely outsmarted Lex Luthor before, and he's generally the smartest in, you know, in DC universe. And, you know, Iron Man, I think, you know, he's on, Tony Stark is in league with Reed Richards and Doctor Doom and Marvel Comics side. So, but, you know, the thing that's different is Iron Man, you know, he utilizes the technology a lot more. I mean, he wears the thing, but he's also dependent on it. I don't know if this is true in the current scheme, because I admit I haven't been buying Iron Man comics for several years now, but he originally created the armor to keep him alive, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And that's, go ahead.
Yep, and that was the whole, I think that's how it all came about, is that he went over to, because of his, well, you know, his job, he went over to a place and he got kidnapped, apparently. And
well, it was Vietnam, I think, originally, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was Vietnam. It was Vietnam originally, because that was the setting at the time the original comic was in, you know, in the 60s. And they wanted to play off of what was going on, which is kind of a neat little microcosm about comic books, is that it's sort of a, you know, it's a pop culture look at what's going on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of neat thing about comic books.
It is. And I guess in the movie, then it starts out in, is it Iraq or Afghanistan? I think it's Afghanistan.
Afghanistan now.
Yeah.
It updated again to be Afghanistan,
right,
which is what it says in the wiki. Here.
Yep, in Wikipedia. And a lot of the factoids and facts that we're pulling out today we're pulling out of the Wikipedia article on Iron Man, which is pretty cool. So he's a multi-billionaire. We've established that.
Right.
And so the movie is starting over. Okay, the movie starting in Afghanistan.
Right.
That's something that they do with comics a lot, because, I mean, you know, right now I guess it's just, who wants to read about a superhero who was formed in Vietnam, right? That's just so passé.
Right.
So
cliche
cliche, exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they do things like that to keep things fresh, and I know like. They did that with Magneto when they did the first X-Men movie several years ago now. He was a child in the concentration camps in World War II. But I guess I forget how old he was when they originally introduced him in the comic book. I think I don't remember if he was in, you know, like in his 20s or if he was, you know, or 30s or whatnot, but he was a lot older. Right. So, you know, if they want to keep Magneto around, they're going to have to get rid of that whole thing. And unfortunately, that's a, you know, a lot of ties into his past and stuff. So I'd be curious. I guess, you know, it's not so critical with Tony Stark. They can just take him out of one war and drop him into another. So, you know, I guess that's a little to the story writer's advantages. But,
right.
But so what are some of the things that the Iron Man armor lets Iron Man do?
Well, fly, for one thing.
Damn, I think
that's
straight.
Probably the first and foremost thing that pops out of my head is that the guy can fly, and that's the coolest thing to me. And other than, well, it's a suit of armor, and it's strong and stuff, and impenetrable. The thing that stands out the most is that the guy can fly, and that's kind of cool.
Yep.
I think that's, of any superpower, I would think that flying would be probably one of my top two things that I would want to have.
Yeah, it's up there. It's definitely up there. Actually, I just remembered I got a little bit off topic. I wanted to also say, though, that the Iron Man suit, you know, was designed to keep him alive because he was over in the war. It was originally in Vietnam, but I forget exactly what happens, but he, you know, he's near an explosion and some shrapnel goes into his chest and starts, like, working its way to his heart, right?
Right, exactly. That's exactly what happens. Some shrapnel is in there, and then, there's conflicting things that I'm thinking of. It's been a long time since I've read the origin, but apparently he's got so long to make this pacemaker, I suppose you can call it, and or a weapon, and he chooses to live and make a pacemaker.
And a weapon. Makes himself into the weapon.
That's right. So.
But yeah, he's got, like you said, first off, he can fly. He's in a big suit of armor. And that's another thing, too, is if you've never, have you ever worn any sort of armor? I mean, any sort, like padding or anything like that?
Oh, like football padding, yes.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. I mean, you think about it, it's kind of cool. If you've never put on any sort of armor, like, you know, for martial arts sparring or just, you know, mountain biking gear or football, it's kind of cool. Try it out sometime. It immediately, you know, you feel tougher, you know?
Yes.
You feel less vulnerable and, like, you can take more. I know I do it when I mountain bike. You know, if I go out with my padding on, I am a lot more comfortable, you know, with, like, the risks that I take mountain biking than I am without it, you know?
Right. And let me add, the coolest thing, too, is the helmet, you know? And it could be any old helmet. You know, football players wear the helmet. But, like, my kids will see guys on motorcycles with these fancy helmets on, and they will automatically think that those guys are superheroes, you know? And awesome. it's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
But you're right. You feel... almost invulnerable in one of those things, and
just imagine what it would be like if you were wearing the Iron Man suit, though.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it makes him pretty much invulnerable to, you know, unless he's dealing with some other super high tech villain or, you know, super powered villain. Iron Man's pretty darn tough.
Yep.
And
bad dude.
He is. He's super strong, right? The power armor gives him super strength.
That's right.
And his famous attack is the repulsor rays, you know, that shoot out of the his gauntlets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the chest beam, though, had a different name. Wasn't that like the unibeam? I think that was what it used to be called. But he has another, you know, like laser type thing out of his chest also.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure about that. I thought it was about the same as the pulse bolts.
Pulse bolts, those came later. Pulse bolts came around in the white and red armor, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And that was right around the time when he was, after he had lost Stark Industries to Obadiah Stane, and, you know, Stane Industries it basically became. So he built the new armor. And that's one of the things you mentioned, that, you know, it started out as this big, clunky, he basically looked like a walking potbelly stove.
Right.
That's how I think of him.
Uh-huh. I agree, yeah.
You know, and then I read the early Iron Man comics, and, you know, someone, I guess he was talking to his girlfriend or wife or whatever, and they said, oh, you know, he's a good guy, but he looks so scary, and, you know, if only he was like a shining knight. So he goes and he paints his armor gold.
Right.
But it was still the same, you know, giant, so he looked like a big, giant, yellow potbelly stove walking around.
Right.
And then over time, you know, like you said, it slimmed down, you know, the armor got thinner, and, you know, nowadays he doesn't look much bigger, depending on, like, what timeline you're reading or what continuity it is. You know, sometimes the armor doesn't look much larger than a man at all. It looks like it's paper thin, you know?
Right, exactly.
But he's gone through various incarnations, and when he basically added red to the suit after a while, so he went from steel, gray steel to gold and red, And that was the color scheme that he stuck with for the longest time. And then I forget when it was, but sometime during the storyline involving Obadiah Stane, who is the bad guy in the movie, the Iron Monger, he changed it and turned it to white and red, and added a bunch of new weapons at that time, and that's where the pulse bolts came in. So, you know, the repulsor rays are basically jacked up a notch or two, and, you know, he became even more powerful. And that was one of the interesting things. I think Iron Man represents an interesting escalation, you know, in power, in the power struggle between the villains and heroes. And again, with Batman, you know, you sort of saw this when Bruce Wayne had his back broken and Azrael became Batman for a while in the Batman continuity. He was so much more powerful, you know, just physical power because of the armor that that guy wore, that, you know, for the first few episodes or first few issues, he's just walking around Gotham City cleaning house, you know, because nobody could lift a finger to him because he was just so much tougher. But then the bad guys started to get tougher, too, you know. But anyway, so Iron Man, you know, got stronger and more powerful, and he also evolved into a gray and white suit at one point called the War Machine. And then I forget exactly what happened, but he ended up giving that armor to his sidekick, Jim Rhodes. And you remember Rhodey?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
So Rhodey became War Machine, and I guess they had a falling out at one point. And, you know, he kept the armor and they split off, and I forget who went where, but I think that he went and stayed with the West Coast Avengers for a while. I don't remember. The West Coast Avengers period of Marvel Comics was kind of a low point for me. So, but Jim Rhodes, you know, he was what? He's Stark's pilot, chauffeur, bodyguard, confidant.
Yep.
of those things. And he plays. He's in the role in the movie as well, along with a couple of other you know, characters from the comics. So you know, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Do you have anything else we should talk about to, you know, give folks an idea of who Iron Man is?
I think the best thing is really to go see the movie and get reacquainted with Iron Man and the whole comic book universe. Other than that, all I remember is that Tony Stark was kind of a jerk.
An alcoholic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're right. He was an alcoholic and a jerk.
He was kind of a jerk. And the comic was one of the, you know, they did dive into that. They dealt a lot with substance abuse and alcoholism. And that was an interesting thing, especially like in the 70s and 80s and stuff, where, you know, a lot of comics did that. Well, not a lot, but some did. They, you know, dived into real, you know, social issues at the time.
Human issues.
Human, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's, again, like you said, you know, underneath all that, you know, that golden yellow armor there, it's just a guy.
Right.
And that's
perhaps that's what they were trying to go for.
Mm-hmm.
There's this outer armor that we all have, you know, a mask, so to speak, but inside we're these human people with weaknesses and character flaws and that kind of stuff. So, perhaps that's where they wanted us to look at the dichotomy of the human nature, you know.
So, well, we could ask Stan Lee.
yeah.
But I think we did a good little overview of Iron Man. Again, the ultimate techie, you know, tech hacker hero, in my opinion. So,
I agree.
And if you haven't seen the trailers, they're out now. By the time you hear this episode, obviously, you know, the movie will be out now, too.
Yep.
But I thought from the trailers that I've seen, they looked really good. You know, Robert Downey Jr. is playing Tony Stark, and who's better to play an alcoholic than, you know, someone who's got substance abuse issues, right?
That's right.
You know, I think it's going to work out really well.
I think so, too. I can't wait for the movie, and I know my kids can't. I got kids who already are begging me to see it, so we'll be out there.
Well, Randy Noseworthy, the Nose from Fresh Ubuntu Call In fame, and I will be connecting sometime on Saturday to talk about the movie. So I'll look for you, too, if you want to join in, and we can do a little roundtable discussion on it.
Sounds good.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.